second, India have won the Test match. India have won the series.
They're going to get back for two. India at home. Lords goes wild.
Hey, welcome to another episode of A2N All Out Podcast. I am Subhash Jayaraman, aka Cricket Couch, and today I'm joined by two A2N All Out regulars. First, there is Ashoka, who is AB Van on Twitter. Hello, Ashoka, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Nice to be here.
Thanks for joining me. And the other person joining us is Max Da Vinci, Maxi Max. How are you, Max?
I'm good, Mata.
All right, excellent. We are recording right after India pretty much dominated Sri Lanka with more than 6 overs left and 7 wickets in hand, and both their opening batsmen scoring hundreds. If you look at how far apart the two teams are in terms of the table, ICC ODI rankings, quality of the players, both batsmen and bowlers, and the form of the players, everything, you know, this was supposed to be one-way traffic. And as it turned out, the final result, if you only look at the scorecard, it turned out to be a one-way traffic. However, I thought after being 50-odd for four with Angelo Mathew scoring their 100, it actually, and getting to 265, and I think in this World Cup, only one team has chased any score more than 250. I think that was Bangladesh against West Indies. So given all that, I thought, well, you know, India has a challenge. But then once Mallinga did not strike with a new ball, and India got through the power play at more than 7 runs and over without loss, then it becomes severe mother play.
I mean, I don't disagree with that, because when your support to Mallinga is Kasun Rajita and Isuru Udana, you are kind of hoping that Mallinga gets you the first 2-3 wickets in the first 10 overs. And you're basically asking Mallinga to get his career best, redefine his career best every single match. That's the strategy. I mean, that is going to fail 8 times out of 10, and therefore they didn't have much of a prayer after India were like 100 for no loss. Not even 100 for no loss, 70 for no loss. Then it was only a matter of how big this defeat would be. Would this be a 10-wicket defeat or a 8-wicket defeat or a 7-wicket? But I still, this is also a tournament where Afghanistan gave India a run for money. Though, to be fair, Afghanistan had a good, like a triok of spinners. I was hoping that some magic would come out of, because Angelo hit his third, only his third 100, right? And all three against India. So I thought, yeah, today might be the day where we see some magic. But yeah, then the obvious happened.
Moving on from there, let's talk about the positives for India, and then we can talk about not so positives and perhaps negatives, whatever. Max, what did you think were the positives for India? Obviously, you know, their opening batsmen getting centuries.
Yeah, and that was good. I think Rahul needed that 100. So now the only one who is missing out is Kohli to get 100, and then that'll wrap up a really good World Cup for the top order. I mean, the less we speak about the middle order, the better it is, I guess. But I think if Kohli makes one in the semis, that'll be good. And with Rahul, right, he's been getting a lot of criticism of playing slow, and there's a lot of snarky tweets going on. But he's been playing a perfect foil to Rohit, right? Because Rohit has been going at over-runner ball, and this guy has just been holding up one end. It's not like he's failed or anything, right? All the games that he's had decent starts. He's always got 40 plus or something like that. So it was high time he got a century, and he was due for one. I'm happy he got a century.
You know, talking about Rahul's strike rate and stuff, I think, you know, that has been India's modus operandi of, you know, one batsman taking early charge of the innings, another one, you know, plays into form during the course of the match. However, I think that kind of approach needs to be recalibrated only when they're chasing a big total or against a team like England, where you know you're going to have to set a very tall score, or you're going to be chasing a tall score. Other than that, I think the way KL has been playing is totally fine. Coming to you, Ashoka, what are India's positives from your point of view?
Other than Rahul, I think we now have tested the third spin option in form of Ravindra Jadeja. We always knew that he was a good bowler in LOIs. He can keep the runs down, get you that additional wicket if the pitch is offering some kind of spin. And I think that is one additional thing that because we were always struggling by the nature of how our bowling is constructed. We were always going to have a long tail. Now, with Jadeja in and is showing promise of giving that extra 10 overs for 40, 45, 50 for one, I think we can now elongate that batting order a bit with support from Bhuvneshwar.
I think there was a point that Virat Kohli made in the post-match conference when Manjrekar asked him, like, hey, which team would you prefer facing? Even though he knows he wasn't going to get an answer. But Kohli mentioned saying, like, hey, on a given day, if whatever conditions are and dimensions of the ground, who the opposition is, the team that has the most flexibility or that can adapt and have players that are informed to be flexible to play in that and play the good game. From that point of view, I think having Jadeja play, because Jadeja's game is very, very simple. So he doesn't need to play four or five games to get into any kind of form, whether with ball or bat. So it's good that he got center pitch practice. At some point he was going less than 3 runs an over after his 8 overs, and he went for 19 runs in his last two once Matthews was set in and Thirumanna was two. So I thought, and he turns the ball away if the pitcher has assistance. So technically speaking, he could be a replacement for Yuzvendra Chahal because he also typically turns the ball away from the right-hander. I think that's the call that will they make looking at the grounds and stuff. I want to talk about something else too, which, it's not entirely a positive or neither was it entirely negative, which is the performance of Bhuvneshwar Kumar. With the new ball, he went for some runs, but he was the same old Bhuvneshwar Kumar with the old ball and in the death overs. So, Max, what do you think? You've seen how Shami performs with the new ball with the solid, crowded seam, but then he goes for runs in the death overs. Whereas here today, Bhuvneshwar Kumar has pedigree of doing well with the new ball. Now he's been very consistent with the old ball and in the death overs. Would you say that the choice... I doubt India is going to play three seamers in addition to Hardik Pandya. So if the choice comes between Bhuvneshwar and Shami, do you think you have seen enough from Bhuvneshwar Kumar since he came back from his injury that he should be the first choice?
If it's two, then yeah. You would still any day back Bhuvi because what happened today in these opening overs is not something that happens 8 out of 10 times with him, right? Mm. So you would still back him. However, there is that... that 1% in your mind where you're like, what if India opened with Bhuvi, Bumrah and Shami, and then Bhuvi comes in first change and then bowls in the end. That'll be, spectacular. Just that I don't think we are that team, nor that is the strategy. But if you just had to, step aside and imagine that situation, that'll be fantastic with Jadeja being the lone spinner.
We are not that team, neither are India. When you say we is 81 all out. It's not India, what do you think of it, Ashok?
I would again back Bhuvi over Shami simply because it's an interesting thing that now we are confident of Bhuvi's end over bowling because when he started out, Dhoni would finish all his 10 overs in the first 20-25 overs. He was the guy who used to swing the bit and we were highly doubtful of his late over capabilities. But such has been his change that now we are saying that Bhuvi is far more dependable than Shami. And that is true. But yeah, I actually don't think what is the big harm in just going with one spinner. Because before the World Cup, if you remember, we were there was this whole thing about wrist spinners and how India will dominate the World Cup with Kuldeep and Chahal. Actually, that has not been the case. Kuldeep and Chahal have not had the greatest of World Cup. Maybe they could take a call saying that if you want another spinning option, you can anyways chop DK and bring in Kedar Jadhav if the need is that great. The other argument to that is when Bumrah is in such good form, like your 10 overs are golden, And Bhuvi can really plug in at the end. I don't think you should go with, I mean, there's another equally good argument as well. Why go with four pacers when three is enough, when Hardik is also doing his job?
With the 11 that India played against Sri Lanka today, I kind of agree with you that, you know, you can play Kedar Jadhav instead of Dinesh Karthik. And the choice is then, do you play Ravindra Jadeja or one of the spinners or Shami? And you made a valid point that, you know, we all expected spin to play a major role. And I think Cricviz wrote an article or, you know, Freddie Wild or somebody about how little impact spinners have had in this tournament, which was very surprising. But such is cricket.
And it's not just India, right? It's across the board. Yeah, every team. And if you look at all the wicket takers right now, you have Stark, Amir, Lockie. It's just these guys who are Archer.
I mean, I think Nehraji, considering the, all the left-handers, pacers that are having so much success, Nehraji retired a little too early. He could have easily played this, had a banana thrown up on the pitch and taken some sixes. Anyway, moving on to record-setting Rohit. Fifth century in the tournament, no one has ever done. Previously, he was tied for with Sangakkara, right? Now he is all by himself, 500, five centuries, and what, well past Shakib Hasan. I guess David Warner could catch up with him if he continues the way he's batting. Any words on Rohit's innings, AB?
I was just reading the some time back that Sachin 673 came across 11. This guy has come across 8. Obviously, it will lead to comparisons, right? Like Sachin 673 is what he's gunning for. So, which is the greater one? I think this is a phenomenal effort off and off by itself. If you see 500s in a World Cup, this is crazy. What he's doing is what we actually expected Kohli would be doing with Rohit as support act. But what has happened is the reverse. He has become the most prized wicket. And he is also the key for India to, I mean, I said this in the other podcast as well, like Rohit is the key for India to set a 300 plus score when batting first. And while chasing, the conventional logic again was Kohli would handle the chase, but it has seemed that now in this Sri Lankan match, and I think even in the South African match, which was the bowling was like far, I mean, of a higher quality, he again made 120 and made sure that we won that game. That was a tense match, if I remember. I mean, if we all remember, that was a match that we could have lost, given how Rabada was bowling.
I mean, if someone like Rohit, in the form that he's in, if he gets out early, then the pressure... I mean, you obviously have Virat Kohli, and it's been a two-man batting lineup with Dhawan gone. You know, KL is in some form, and actually he can... Because I remember talking to Manjrekar or somebody and saying when he got out for 70 in the previous game, he's like, well, someday it's going to happen when I'm going to get to 100. I don't know how I'm going to get to 100, whatever. But I'm happy for him that he is working through his internal monologues, deep philosophical internal monologues to achieve that. Obviously, he's a very, very, very talented batsman. I guess if Rohit or does not fire in the next game, which is the knockout, I think the pressure is that much more on Bumrah, because he's the next bona fide, or he's the other bona fide superstar of the World Cup. So he has to deliver, because right now, most of the times, he comes back and takes wickets in the middle order and the end. The new ball, not so much. He has taken two or three matches, he has taken wickets with the new ball. But you'll have, that pressure would be that much more on him that he has to deliver with the new ball as well. Anyway, looking across the fence, let's look at Sri Lanka's performance. You know, they were 52-odd for four in the first 10, 11 overs, something like that. But then Angelo Matthews, you know, scored his third ODI 100, all three of them coming against India. And then when, you know, Sri Lanka, if he gave a respectable total. And if Sri Lanka had any chance, then the retiring Malinga, had to do something with the ball, but that didn't happen. But let's bring Max in. Max, Malinga has shown over the years that he's a master of a limited overs. Your words on Malinga?
Malinga has been fabulous. If you see, not just this World Cup, even before, right? And starting right up in from the IPL, if you see how he was playing a few games, he was flying out to Sri Lanka to play like provincial tournaments, coming back, again playing, and he was doing all this at the age at that he is at. And that commitment was seen throughout, and even through his World Cup, they've always looked to him. Unfortunately for Sri Lanka, and like Ashoka was alluding earlier, that's all their whole bowling attack has been, right? It's been Malinga or not. And when he fires and gets some early wickets like he did in the England game, it helps when the others can come in. But otherwise, it's him or not. And it's sad to see someone like a Malinga end his career, you know, with that, where he has had absolutely no support. But I mean, he's been a champion bowler no matter what. And I think even Rohit, in his post-match interview, had, you know, high praise for him, because he's seen him closely on the Mumbai Indians team as well when he came back, and then he helped them win the final as well. So Malinga has been spectacular, and for me, it's still every time Malinga bowls, I still hark back to the 2007 South Africa game, and it's like, can you do one more of those? Can you do one more of those? And probably he needed one of those today.
I mean, I was going to ask you that. Like, when you think of Malinga's career, like, what are the highlights that come to your mind? Obviously, the 4 wickets in 4 against South Africa from 2007 that comes to mind. Obviously, I get severe gand thinking about the wicket of Shardul Thakur. Such is life. What do you guys think? I also have another image of Malinga. I think it was his test debut. And Virendra Sehwag, you know, uppercut him of the first ball of the second inning straight to third man and got out. That also I remember of Malinga, because I was like, oh man, this guy has a funny action. What about you, Ashok?
For me, the defining Malinga moment, if you ask me on the spot, is a very bad memory. Is a memory, I mean, which is bad to him, not to me, of course. Is the one that where
Kohli. Oh yeah, okay, you already said it. Okay.
Yeah, it's the one where Kohli takes him to the cleaners. No, so that is at some point he's just bowling balls and then standing mid pitch, just laughing. I mean, what else can he do? I mean, that is the defining Malinga image that I have. But you mentioned Angelo Matthews. I wanted to talk about Angelo Matthews because, sure. Man, I mean, he's been around forever and he's just 32. And I think he can play one more World Cup if the selectors and his fitness and his body allows him. I think he can play one more World Cup. And I really want Angelo Matthews to dominate ODI cricket. I know he's a fantastic test cricketer. He has done enough and more in his career for that question to never appear. But ODI somehow, and that too, he has only scored 300s in all 3 against India. But I always felt that he could be the guy who would have like a 45 average and at 20 hundreds by this time in his career. He is that kind of a player. He is definitely capable. And every time he fails, I'm like a little bit sad, that because I feel that he's their best batsman. I mean, you can talk up Kusal Mendis and Jad Dhananjaya, two of my favorite players, but I think far and ahead, post Sangakkara and Mahela, I think Angelo is their best batsman that Sri Lanka has got. And it is just a tragedy that he has not been scoring as much as he should have or he can. This is one grouse that we used to have, like before Rohit went mad and became a great ODI player, we had this grouse about him. I have that grouse with Angelo. And that is fair of most Sri Lankan players as well. Like, either they have injury problems or some politics screws away their career. Even in this World Cup, if you see the injury problems, I mean, we all say that hope has been pinned on Malinga, but it was not the case when they started. He has a good support with Nuwan Pradeep, right? And for some reason, I thought Akhila Dhananjaya should be in the squad, but he was not. I think now he was playing the A tour when the World Cup was happening. India A and Sri Lanka A were playing, and Akhila Dhananjaya was part of that. And I was thinking, why is this guy not in the squad? He's actually a good leg spinning option that they could provide. To be very fair, I think he's better than the Jeevan Mendis and Jeffrey Van Der Zee. Jeffrey Van Der Zee, I remember some 2 years back, some Champions Trophy he was playing. After that, I couldn't remember him playing at all.
He had some injury issues and then form issues too. So, you know, he's on a comeback trail, and I think they put him in the squad too much earlier than where he is with his form. Anyway. Yeah.
So that's the bizarre thing about this whole campaign for Sri Lanka. Like even Andrew Fidel in his articles, he was saying that a good, technically good batsman like Dhananjay De Silva is being treated as a lead spinner and is coming behind the likes of Tisara Pereira, say. So who is actually seen more as a hitter, as an enforcer, rather than a batsman who can play out difficult overs, difficult seaming conditions or swinging conditions. So it's been that kind of a tournament for Sri Lanka. But at the same time, without Sri Lanka, this tournament would have not been that interesting at all. So
you should correct that sentence. Without Malinga, this tournament would have been what it is.
Thanks to Malinga taking Bairstow out and then taking the 4 wickets, we had a semblance of actual alive tournament, even though the top four at that point ended up being the top four, thanks to England being gracious hosts.
But think about this, Subhash and Ashok. At the start of the tournament, right when you saw the squads, right, that moment itself, like, okay, you marked Sri Lanka for the wooden spoon right then and there.
Yeah.
When you look at a squad, because, you weren't expecting South Africa to be where they were and all that. But with Sri Lanka, when you saw that squad at the last minute, Karunarathne comes in, he's not played ODI cricket for a long time. And they say, okay, now you're the captain. And look at the rest of the support squad there. You look, okay, like I said, there were only a couple of names in there where you hope people could do something, but otherwise you had marked this one. Okay, this is going to be a bottom. Let's just see who else joins them at the bottom. Because coming in, you probably even had some hope from Afghanistan that, they may pull up at least one or two upsets. So, the Sri Lanka, you had no such hope at the start of the tournament. That's been their journey as well. It's like they've struggled to go past 250 except for these last two games, and the bowling has never showed up. They've, like, Matthews, I'm a Matthews sympathizer, and he should be at four, right? He's been playing at the wrong position, and I just don't get it.
I think Sri Lanka has got a lot more issues than just Matthew's position. But
you want your most experienced batsman coming in at four, right? If you look throughout, you have Ross Taylor, you have Steve Smith, you have Wayne Morgan.
You can make an argument for saying, like, Kusal Mendes is not, a shoe saying he's a terrible guy or anything. He's a very good, talented batsman too. So if Kusal Mendes, you put him at four and he comes off, great. Then Matthews comes in, hits in the final 15 overs, 10 overs, whatever. If not, well, you still got Matthews. So it's not entirely faulty logic. But I think this is how they could maximize what they have. They didn't want, they didn't want to put Matthews early in and expose him to, bowlers who might be on a roll and then lose Matthews also. And then you're stuck with out of form Kusal Mendes.
So, I think Matthews was covering for what Chandimal was supposed to do. And for some reason, Chandimal didn't find himself in the World Cup squad. So now they had to do something about that number five, given that they had pushed Dhananjaya way down. So I think a whole lot of hodgepodge happened there. From a very commonsensical middle order, which is starting with Kusal Mendes and then Matthews and then Chandimal and then Dhananjaya, and Tisara Pereira coming in and taking over that hitter role. I think a whole lot of, hodgepodge happened. End of it all, in all that chaos, they got an Avishka Fernando.
Yeah. Avishka obviously was a star, man, under 19. So, he's shown his worth. And I think that guy has got a very, very bright future. As India fans, what do you guys believe is the better matchup for India in the semifinal? Or are you going to give me the same answers that Kohli and Rohit gave to Manjrekar?
I don't work for the BCCI.
Okay, what do you think?
India should play New Zealand.
Even given how they played against New Zealand in their warm-up?
Yeah, it's any day, man. You could see that England team is... they've had some unbelievably horrible games. But you would still pick that England team to come off. You just never know. Butler, I'm not even going there. Past the top three, then you have Butler, Stokes. These guys are crazy. So if it comes off, then they are the most dangerous team. And going into a knockout, I would not want that.
What about you, Ashok?
Yeah, as Max says, I would rather take the New Zealand, conservative New Zealand guys over that England team. But having said that, I mean, if you're going to face New Zealand, that Manchester is where I think we are going to face. Apart from one match where Ian Morgan went crazy, that is a, and that is not a ground where 300s are that common. I may be wrong, but this tournament, we have had a 260 match, and there was one West Indies match, I think, that Carlos Brathwaite match was in Manchester.
Correct. There was 289.
Yeah, so in those situations, if it is sub-300 matches, New Zealand are as dangerous as any other team.
All right, on that note, no, thanks for being on the show, Ashok and Max. Please subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts. Leave a rating, review, so that people can find us. Follow us on Twitter at 81allout. And look, check out 81allout.com for the backlog of podcasts and articles. And also, a quick shout-out to our sister podcast, which is The Other Banana, which is on regional movies. You can also find them at whereistheotherbanana.com. As always, give us feedback on the website or Twitter feed, and we'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
In the air, Srishant takes it. India wins.
He'll come back for the second. India have won the test match. India have won the series.
They're going to get back for two. India at home. Lords goes wild.